Welcome to Parents' Perspective. So what do you got? 9-year-old Sammy looked across the lunch table at his friend Chuck. Ah, same old stuff. Chuck was busy dumping the contents of his lunch bag into a pile in front of him. Well, let's see what Charlie has, Sammy decided. He called to their pal at the end of the lunch table. Hey, Charlie, what do you got? Charlie mused among his choices and announced. Got a pack of goose strings and a bag of chips. Anything good for those? Nah. Only a tuna sandwich, an apple, and those yucky oatmeal raisin cookies, Chuck responded. Guess nobody wants to trade for any of those. He looked hopefully up and down the table. Just then, Sammy piped up. I did convince my mom to get some of those Lunch Buddies meals. Anybody got something for those? Hey, Chuck brightened. I'll trade for those. My mom never gets me any of that stuff. Yeah, Sammy commiserated. That's tough, but who'd want what you've got? From a parent's perspective, let's take a closer look at Lunchtime 101, the elementary years. I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Today's guest knows all too well what happens with children's school lunches. Margaret Maring is an elementary school counselor with the impressive credential that she eats lunch with the children, trying to eat with every child at some point. She's a former home economics instructor, teaching food and nutrition courses in both high school and middle school, as well as conducting adult education cooking classes. She's also the author of cookbooks, the mother of 3 grown children, 2 sons and a daughter, and the proud grandmother of a 5-month-old grandson. Welcome to Parents Perspective, Margaret.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be here.
Since you frequently eat lunch with the kids in your elementary school, what's the thing you witness that amazes you the most?
Well, probably the behavior that amazes me the most is the amount of food that children throw away. This is especially true of the younger children. I find often when I have children, if we're going to play a game or talk, that especially the first graders, almost need the entire time to eat their lunch, and they can't eat and talk, where the older children sometimes eat too fast and will eat more of their lunches. But a lot of the children will throw their lunches away.
That's because of lack of time or because they don't like what's in there?
It's a good question. The younger children, I think, will throw them away if they just haven't had time to eat it. However, they tend to eat things, their desserts first or their chips first.
Life is short, have dessert first.
The older children tend to throw away things simply because they don't like them, I think.
Does that mean that the kids are very often hungry later in the day when they wouldn't have been had they had time or inclination to eat the whole lunch?
You know, I'm not with the children in the afternoon, so that's hard to answer the question. But I do know that some children get hungry in the morning because they haven't had adequate breakfast, and they'll come to the nurse and maybe they'll be hungry, or sometimes they'll stop by my office and ask if I have something to eat. But I haven't, I don't really observe them in the afternoons.
Do you keep food in your office?
Not really, but occasionally they'll come and ask if I have something.
It sounds like elementary school children need to have sort of a snack time built in the mornings.
Yes, and they do. And some of the children who eat at a later lunch period do have that. The teachers will factor that in. And they'll have a snack period. But then sometimes they don't bring a snack, and that's the problem.
How does a child's food environment, do you think, affect what he eats or doesn't eat in school?
Well, I'll tell you something very interesting that I've observed. Our school is very international. We have children from all over the world. And it's interesting to see the Japanese children at lunch. They typically bring a little small plastic lunch container, and you open it up, and it has compartments at the top and the bottom. But this little container is attractively wrapped up in a cloth napkin. And the children will come to school, they'll untie their cloth napkin, spread it out for a placemat, put the lunch on the placemat. Their lunches are usually very healthy. They usually have a protein, a meat, maybe sushi. They usually almost always have rice. They have wonderful vegetables, sometimes a fruit, and they usually eat all of their lunch. They don't throw their lunch away. At the end, they'll close their lunch bags up. They either have chopsticks or metal fork, not a plastic fork, put it back in their little lunch box. Then they'll tie it back up in this attractive napkin. And I find it very civilized and very wonderful observing these children eat their lunches because they usually eat all of their lunches. Some other children will bring their lunch, and often they will eat, if you're going to say what they don't throw away are the potato chips or other chips, their dessert. Then sometimes they'll eat one or two bites of a sandwich, maybe one or two bites of an apple, and throw the rest away. And kind of, so I have observed that.
What about the overweight child? That's a different category altogether.
That's something I've been concerned about. Often the overweight child will come to lunch with a lunch that has very high caloric value. And I often wonder why the parents give them things, you know, so many packaged treats. And that's what the child will eat. Sometimes two or three treats they will have. They often eat all of their lunch. So it's not, I think, the choice of the amount of food, but the types of food that the child is eating.
And the child isn't making the choices in that case.
Well, they may be telling their mother what they want, but still I think the parents are in control of what they're going to buy and send to in the lunchroom.
It seems like that's an opportunity for the parents to at least have some say in how well a child is eating nutritionally.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to add that many of overweight children don't get enough exercise. One of the criticisms of the current dietary guidelines, the food pyramid, was that it didn't include exercise. But the American population actually gained weight following the old pyramid guidelines.
Oh, that's kind of
really?
Scary.
Oh, my goodness. Because of the carbohydrates in
it? There's so many carbohydrates at the base of the pyramid, and people thought they could eat as much as they wanted.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue discussing Lunchtime 101, the elementary school years.
Washington, D.C. with Kids, an excellent book by authors Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are focusing on Lunchtime 101, the elementary school years, with Margaret Mehring. I remember visiting a nutritionist at one point and seeing her show children the size that we consider a portion. Mm-hmm. And it's so much smaller than the portions we get in restaurants and all this. I think our whole sense of that is out of whack.
And I think that's what I'm seeing with lunches that the parents pack for the children. The lunches are much bigger than they need to be.
They're packing bigger lunches and the kids aren't really eating them.
They're really not eating them. Parents would be amazed if they knew what children threw away.
Yeah.
If you're seeing that they grab the snack foods and the dessert foods out of the lunch bags, which are very often, as we all know, in packages that mm-hmm. are easy for parents to buy in large quantities and just grab one stick in the bag. What if the parents were to be leaving those out? Do you think the kids would eat the rest of the lunch, or they're not going to eat anything?
I think they would, but the children that I said earlier bring their lunches and they don't have these packaged treats in them mm-hmm. and they eat all of their lunches.
When my kids were little and I would say, well, do you want this? Do you want this? And they would ask for something that I would not have mm-hmm. in the house. And I would look at them and say, well, why would you want that? And the response, you know, like I was a total idiot. They would say, well, that's going to bring a lot on the open market. You know, so it's clearly like a marketplace.
Margaret, what lunch packing suggestions would you give to parents? Hopefully we have lots of parent listeners who are out there either packing lunches or helping their children pack lunches.
Okay. Well, one of the things I think is to always remember food safety. Lunches in a lunchbox or lunch bag can get warm. So if you have a meat, poultry, or eggs or something like that, make sure that you put a little frozen gel pack, or sometimes people will freeze a juice and put it in there to keep the lunches safe. And plan ahead the foods that children want to eat, talk to your children about what they want in their lunch. And so that at least there's one thing in their lunch that you know they'll eat and that they'll like. I was talking about this with some people who work in the lunchroom at school. I knew it was coming, and they said that one thing they always do is to make sure that they provide a healthy, nutritious breakfast and a healthy dinner, and they have healthy snacks at home, so that if a child falls off the wagon at lunchtime, that at least they're having a balanced lunch. But I think if kids have a say in what they'll eat, also, it's a good if children help prepare their lunches. Maybe the night before, if they're actually preparing their lunch, if they put something in there, they're probably more likely to eat it than if they don't eat it. Often, kids will eat their lunch and they say, oh, my mom put this in there. She knows I hate that. I think they're old enough, then children should have responsibilities at home, and I think packing their lunches can be one of them.
Do you think that what goes into the lunches reflects what gets eaten at home as well? For example, children who eat carrot sticks for a snack at home won't object to having them in their lunch bag?
I think that's true. There's a boy that I'm thinking about, a fourth grader. His family is vegetarian, and he eats these wonderful carrot sticks and celery. He always brings a little dip that you put it in and sometimes shares it with the kids because that's what they eat at home. Mm-hmm. Kids like these salty snacks, so an alternative might be popcorn, pretzels, or nuts, or make your own little trail mix where you could put maybe some nuts and salty little crackers, or maybe even toss in a few candies to mix in with that, and then the child will have a satisfying, crunchy snack without.
There are a lot of cereals, too, that work very well in a trail mix because they're finger foods.
Mm-hmm. And kids seem to like those. I know when I have a little homework club where I have the snack, and sometimes I'll make this trail mix out of the cereal and other things, and the kids love it.
I have grown-up sons, as you know, and there are times when visiting them in their houses, I see them walking around carrying a box of cereal, and that's mm-hmm. the snack. You know, that's the finger food snack as opposed to the old chips and mm-hmm.
Well,
it
satisfies that want to crunch. Mm-hmm. You know, often I know if I have a yogurt and a sandwich that's soft, you still want it something that's crunchy, and I think that's what that survives. The other thing, milk can be purchased at school. Often I see children bringing soft drinks in their lunches. And milk is very reasonable at school. In fact, I'll tell a story when our son, who's now 34, was little. He had a $6 million man lunchbox and a thermos, and he always wanted to take his milk in the thermos. And I didn't like the cleaning the thermos and everything, so I would give him money, and I would say, Greg, take, you know, it's cheaper at school, so take, you know, buy the milk at school. And one day he came home and he asked me does Robbie's dad make more money than our dad? And I said, I don't know why. He said, because he gets to take his milk to school and I have to buy mine. But, you know, they can buy milk at school. And the other thing that I see children eating are those little mozzarella string cheeses, mm-hmm. which is another way to get their calcium. And they seem to like those. Mm-hmm. And the little yogurts. Mm-hmm. They seem to eat those and like those.
Would you point out why it's not a good idea for kids to be drinking soda with their lunch?
Because it's full of empty calories. They're not good for their teeth. They're not getting calcium for their bones. Mm. It's just anything that I think is an empty calorie. We need to stop and think twice. Is this worth it or should we eat something that...
And it's interesting, we try as parents to make a statement by what we keep in the house. You know, we never, in my house, with my kids growing up, we never had any sodas and we never had white bread because I had read that white bread was nutritionally deficient and blah, blah, and all this kind of, never had any chewing gum. Well, the first thing my kids asked for when they went out to someone else's house, could they have a sandwich on white bread? Could they have a soda? Could they have chewing gum? Mm-hmm.
That's with picking and choosing and let kids having some say, then that'll be their treat, even if it is white bread over whole wheat bread, so that you're not totally controlling their lives, because what people eat is very personal, as you know. And
how can parents affect the lunching habits of kids who buy their lunches at school, in addition to the buying of the milk?
Well, one of the things I said, don't give them large amount of money for snacks. When I was meeting with the lunchroom aide before I did this, she said that often children will come to school with more money than they need. So then they'll buy two or three snacks and give them to other children to kind of gain friendship. And they may be buying snacks for children whose parents don't want them to have these snacks. So I would say just to send your child with enough money that if they want to buy an ice cream or chips or whatever the school offers, that they could just buy one treat.
And if a child is buying the lunch every day, whatever the school lunch happens to be, any advice on that? I mean, that's perfectly acceptable.
Sure. In our school, I don't know what all schools, the parents know ahead of time for the month what the lunches will be. And so they can plan with the children. If the school lunch is something they don't like, they may want to take a lunch that day. Now, in our school, they have pizza every Friday, so the lunch line is usually very long because the kids like the pizza. Parents can plan with the children, look at the schedule, and see what they like.
But again, that's involving the children in organizing mm-hmm. and deciding. If you could give one piece of advice to parents about school lunches overall, what would that be?
This was hard, but it would be to refrain from buying those prepackaged cardboard lunch kits that contain soft drinks, too much sugar, too much sodium, and are high in calories. They're targeted for children, and they're, in my opinion, not nutritious. They're very expensive, and they often don't provide the nutritious foods that a child needs. And I often see children throwing these lunches away that their parents have spent a lot of money on, these little cardboard packaged lunches. I would also say to have children learn to read labels so that they can see why you object to something, so that they can actually read the label so they'll understand why you're saying that may not be the best choice.
What kinds of things are we going to tell them to look for on the labels?
Oh, too much sodium, the amount of sugar, the amount of saturated fats.
So that brings some kind of understanding about mm-hmm. what we're trying to guide them with nutritionally.
Sounds like some informative trips to the grocery store in order with our children.
Yes.
If we can withstand the wails of, oh, please, can I have that? Johnny has that in his lunch, et cetera, et cetera.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish discussing Lunchtime 101, the elementary school years.
For an audio cassette copy of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're focusing on lunchtime in the elementary school years with Margaret Mehring. I remember going through a period of time, it's not really elementary school, but one of my kids was in high school. He got an allowance every week. This could be done at any age, of course, and out of that allowance he was supposed to budget his lunch money and other things that he was doing. And we found out through other kids that he was just skipping lunch so that he would have more money to go to the movies or do whatever kids were doing on the weekends. I was so horrified. I thought of myself as a complete failure as a parent because I had given him that responsibility, figuring he was ready for it. And he would come home hungry, but he never said he didn't have lunch. So that wasn't such a good idea.
We know someone who also was doing the same thing, basically, a friend of one of my sons when he was in high school. And what he did was he saved his money, and he ate some of everyone else's lunch. So everybody else was then feeding this child. So I guess it's interesting. Lunches are food we're talking about is such a personal thing, and I guess lunch at school, being away from the overseeing eye of the parent, takes on a totally different aura of independence and autonomy and sort of making a statement. There must be a whole lot of psychological stuff that's brought to that.
And that's good to some extent. That's why I think children need to be educated mm-hmm. about their food choices so that they can make wise choices and understand if they want a treat. I mean, we all you know, indulge in a sinful dessert sometime, but that's okay if you do it every now and then.
I think your major point here is, you know, involve the kids in what they're going to be eating, both educating them and helping pack or helping plan when they're going to buy.
And it would seem that if we can think of it in advance and make a trip to the grocery store kind of an adventure, who can find, you know, the meat with the least amount of fat in it, or that, you know, that kind of thing.
And maybe encourage them to try new foods, maybe try a new fruit or a new vegetable that they haven't tried before and take it home and experiment it with that. Children often will like things that are new if they've had a chance to pick it out themselves, or if they can, now with the internet, read on the internet about star fruit or kiwi fruit or something, and where they're from. And if they,
the other thing that I found with kids over the years, and I don't know how true this is everywhere, but in my experience, that almost anything can be eaten if it can be dipped in either tomato sauce or peanut butter.
Oh, yes.
So I always used to joke I could feed my family newspapers if I put tomato sauce on, it would be just fine.
I think we might be really educating especially some much younger parents whose children are just beginning elementary school about the trading business and the throwing away business, because I never knew that my children traded things at lunchtime till my middle son, who's now 30, was writing a college essay about that. And he wrote about loving the tea cookies from a particular grocery store. And if I gave him a lot of those, then he had a sufficient supply to do some trading. But if I didn't give enough, there was no way he was going to trade those away. But everybody would offer him everything for them. And I said, you mean you didn't eat what I packed? This was eye-opening.
And I think it's important to encourage parents to talk with their children and say, hey, do you trade for lunch? What goes on at lunch? You know, what's the best lunch, you know, that your friends bring? You know, what are some of the desirable lunches that are fun? And talk with them about that.
And if that turns out to be those prepackaged lunches, then we get into the education part.
Yes. And, you know, you might even say these lunches cost this much money. And what could we buy with this much money? You know, I'm not even sure how much they buy because I don't buy them. But I think somebody said they're like $3.50 or, you know, so if you go to the store and say for $3.50 or whatever, how much they cost, what could we buy instead of that? And they could see that they could get more things.
Well, this has been so informative and I'm sure eye-opening for a whole lot of listeners out there as the school year is underway. What resources would you recommend at this point for parents who want to have a more positive effect on what their children eat for lunch at school?
Well, like we said, the first thing that is going to the grocery store and trying to say what you want the children to learn from the grocery store, even how to pick out produce that's healthy, how to compare prices. They find it fascinating. And also it's educating them for the future. They can go online and do research on kids' lunches or certain foods. Talk to your child about the importance of nutrition. California researchers said that sodas and chips make up nearly a third of the calories of the U.S. diet.
And we're wondering
by
why
contrast, healthy foods such as vegetables and fruit make up only 10% of calories in our diet. And that's what I see in the school lunches.
It's a wake-up call for all of us who are parents.
And so if we just teach the children the importance of each food group so they'll not say you just eat it because I said so or because it's good for you, but actually have them know why it's good for them. Teach them to read nutrition labels. And they're really fascinating when you read them. And some children do read them, and others don't even know they're on a package. To talk to them about empty calories and try not to purchase too many of these foods. I think also to set examples of the good foods that you eat yourself and provide healthy foods when you shop, to buy foods that are going to offer the most nutrients for your dollar spent at the grocery store.
It sounds like also if we could get our children interested in preparing some foods, that would also give them the empowerment of knowing that they can choose and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Even very young children can get involved in preparing foods. I know often just making a pizza, the pizza dough is good for children, manipulating their little fingers and grading or their certain food tasks. Also, in reading a recipe is good at learning to follow directions. So there are a lot of skills that children can get from preparing foods.
Well, you've given all of us who are listening a lot of skills that we can start working on to have our children have healthier and better school lunches. So thank you very much, Margaret Mehring, for being with us today.
Oh, it was a pleasure to be here.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 and mention show number 228. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Washington, D.C. with Kids is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our latest book, Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org. That's www.parentsperspective.org. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.